Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Moving into a new place always comes with a mix of excitement and anxiety. There's the thrill of starting fresh, of making a space your own, but there's also the stress of unpacking, settling in, and adjusting to unfamiliar surroundings. For me, the move was supposed to be a new beginning. I was ready to leave the city behind, to trade the noise and chaos for peace and quiet. The house itself was charming in its way, with tall windows and a large yard. It had been sitting empty for a while, the previous owners having moved out suddenly. But that didn't bother me. The rent was cheap, and the neighborhood was quiet, just what I needed. The first few days were a whirlwind of unpacking and getting settled. I spent most of my time arranging furniture, hanging pictures, and trying to make the place feel like home. The house was drafty, with the kind of chill that seeps into your bones. I figured once I got the heater going, it would warm up. The only part of the house I didn't like was the basement. It was a typical old house basement, dark, damp, and musty, with low ceilings and crumbling concrete walls. The stairs leading down were steep and narrow, and the single light bulb that hung from the ceiling flickered ominously whenever it was turned on. I had only gone down there once to check out the space, and I didn't plan on going back unless I absolutely had to. It gave me the creeps, but I tried not to think too much about it. After all, basements were supposed to be creepy, right? That night, as I sat in the living room, surrounded by half-unpacked boxes, the first storm rolled in. It was one of those sudden summer storms, the sky darkening in an instant, the wind picking up, and then the rain pouring down in sheets. I watched from the window as lightning lit up the sky. I had always loved storms, the power, the raw energy of them. They were nature's way of reminding us how small we really are. But there was something different about this one. Maybe it was the new house, the unfamiliar surroundings, or maybe it was just my nerves. But as the storm raged on, a sense of unease began to settle over me. It started with a noise, a low, rhythmic thumping that seemed to echo through the house. At first, I thought it was just the wind, or maybe something outside being tossed around by the storm. But as I listened, I realized it was coming from inside the house. I stood up, my heart beginning to race as I tried to pinpoint the source of the sound. It was coming from below, from the basement. I hesitated, a knot of fear tightening in my stomach. I didn't want to go down there, didn't want to face whatever might be causing that noise. But I couldn't just ignore it. The rational part of my brain told me it was probably just a loose pipe, or maybe the old furnace acting up. I needed to check it out. I grabbed a flashlight from the kitchen drawer and made my way to the basement door. It creaked open, revealing the steep stairs descending into darkness. The thumping noise was louder now, echoing up from below like the steady beat of a drum. I took a deep breath, trying to steady my nerves, and started down the stairs, the flashlight beam cutting through the darkness. The air grew colder with each step, the musty smell of the basement wrapping around me like a shroud. The noise grew louder, more insistent, as if something was waiting for me. When I reached the bottom of the stairs, I shone the flashlight around the room, trying to locate the source of the sound. The basement was just as I remembered it. Dark, damp, and cluttered with old, forgotten junk left behind by previous tenants. The walls were stained with age, the concrete floor uneven and cracked. And there, at the far end of the room, was a door I hadn't noticed before. It was small, barely more than a crawl space, and it was locked with a heavy, rusted padlock. The thumping was coming from behind that door, a steady, relentless rhythm that sent chills down my spine. I stood there, frozen, the flashlight beam trembling in my hand. But there was a part of me that couldn't bear not knowing what was causing the noise, and that drove me forward. I took a step closer to the door, the sound of my own breathing loud in my ears. The thumping continued, a slow, deliberate beat like a heart pounding against the walls. I reached out, my hand shaking as I touched the cold metal of the padlock. It was old, rusted, but solid, the kind of lock that hadn't been opened in years. And then, suddenly, the thumping stopped. I froze, the silence pressing in around me like a weight. The only sound was the rain pounding against the ground outside, the wind howling through the trees. My heart was racing, my breath coming in short, panicked gasps. I couldn't stay down there any longer. I turned and ran up the stairs, not stopping until I had slammed the basement door shut behind me. I stood there, my back against the door, trying to catch my breath, trying to convince myself that it was just my imagination, that there was nothing down there. But deep down, I knew that wasn't true. The next day, I couldn't stop thinking about the basement. The storm had passed, leaving behind a bright, clear morning, but the unease lingered. I tried to go about my day, focusing on unpacking and organizing, but the thought of that locked door, of whatever had been making that noise, nagged at me. I knew I had to go back down there. I had to know what was behind that door. I waited until the afternoon, when the sun was high in the sky and the house was bathed in warm, comforting light. It was easier to face the basement in the daylight, easier to convince myself that there was nothing.
Hello, my name is Jorge Gaviria, and I'm the founder of Macienda. We partner with farmers in Mexico to bring heirloom corn products to every kitchen. With my Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on every purchase. And it has no preset spending limit, which means my purchasing power adapts to my business needs. My Spark card helps me fulfill my mission of bringing masa to the masses. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
To be afraid of. I grabbed the flashlight again, along with a crowbar I had found in the garage, and made my way back to the basement. The stairs creaked under my weight, the air growing colder with each step, but I forced myself to keep going. When I reached the bottom, the basement was just as dark and musty as before, but the thumping noise was gone. The silence was almost worse, though, thick and oppressive. I made my way to the locked door, my heart pounding in my chest. The padlock was still there, old and rusted, but I was determined to get it open. I wedged the crowbar under the lock and began to pry, the metal groaning. It took longer than I expected, the old lock stubbornly refusing to give way, but finally, with a loud snap, it broke free. The door creaked open, revealing a narrow, dark passageway that led deeper into the basement. I hesitated, shining the flashlight into the darkness. The air was colder here, the musty smell more intense. The passageway was barely wide enough for me to squeeze through, the walls closing in around me as I stepped inside. I moved slowly, the flashlight beam trembling in my hand. The passageway seemed to go on forever. I could feel my heart pounding in my chest, the fear building with each step. And then, at the end of the passageway, I saw it, a small, dimly lit room, the walls lined with old, decaying wood. In the center of the room was a single chair, and sitting in that chair was a figure, slumped over and still. I stopped, my breath catching in my throat. The figure was small, almost childlike, its head bowed, its hands resting limply in its lap. The clothes were old, tattered, and covered in dust, as if they had been there for years. I stepped closer, my heart racing, the fear clawing at my chest. I could see the figure more clearly now, a young girl, no more than 8 or 9 years old, her hair matted and tangled, her skin pale and lifeless. I wanted to run, wanted to get as far away from that room as possible, but I couldn't move. I was rooted to the spot, my eyes locked on the girl's face, on the hollow, empty eyes that stared back at me. And then, to my horror, she moved. Her head lifted, her eyes meeting mine, and a slow, eerie smile spread across her face. Her lips parted, and in a voice that was barely more than a whisper, she spoke. "Why did you leave me?" I stumbled back, the flashlight slipping from my grasp and clattering to the floor. The room was plunged into darkness, and I could feel the cold, clammy air closing in around me, the sound of her voice echoing in my ears. I turned and ran, blindly groping my way back through the passageway, my heart pounding in my chest. I could hear her behind me, the soft sound of footsteps, the whisper of her voice growing louder, closer. "Why did you leave me?" I burst out of the passageway and raced up the stairs, slamming the basement door shut behind me. I didn't stop until I was outside, the bright sunlight blinding me as I stumbled into the yard. I leaned against the side of the house, gasping for breath, my mind reeling. What had I just seen? Was it real? Or was it some twisted figment of my imagination, brought on by the fear and the darkness of the basement? But deep down, I knew it was real. I knew that the girl in the basement was real, and that she was still down there. The days that followed were a blur of fear and confusion. I couldn't stop thinking about the girl in the basement, couldn't stop hearing her voice in my head, that haunting question that echoed in my mind. Why did you leave me? I couldn't stay in the house anymore. The fear was too much, the sense of dread too overwhelming. I started sleeping in my car, parked in the driveway, too afraid to go back inside. But even then, I couldn't escape her. The fear followed me, gnawing at my mind, driving me to the brink of madness. I knew I had to leave, had to get as far away from that house as possible. But there was something that kept pulling me back, something that wouldn't let me go. It was like the house itself had a hold on me, like the girl in the basement was calling out to me, begging me to stay. And then one night, as I sat in my car, trying to will myself to drive away, I heard it again, the thumping noise, faint but unmistakable, coming from the basement. I couldn't ignore it any longer. I had to know what was going on, had to confront whatever was down there once and for all. I grabbed the flashlight and made my way back into the house, my heart pounding in my chest. The basement door creaked open, and I descended into the darkness. The air was colder than ever, the musty smell almost suffocating. The thumping noise grew louder as I reached the bottom, echoing through the room like the beating of a drum. I made my way to the passageway, the flashlight beam trembling in my hand. The door was still open, the darkness inside beckoning me forward. I stepped into the passageway, my breath catching in my throat as I made my way to the room at the end. The girl was still there, sitting in the chair, her eyes fixed on me. The eerie smile was gone, replaced by an expression of sadness, of longing. Her voice was soft, almost pleading as she spoke. "Why did you leave me?" I couldn't move, couldn't speak. The fear had taken hold, paralyzing me as I stood there, staring at her. She slowly stood up. "Why did you leave me?" she repeated, her voice growing louder, more insistent. "Why did you leave me?" I wanted to scream, to run, but I was rooted to the spot, unable to tear my eyes away from her. She took a step forward, then another, her hollow eyes locked on mine. And then, with a desperate effort, I turned and ran, the sound of her voice echoing in my ears, the darkness closing in around me. I didn't stop until I was outside, the cold night air biting at my skin, the fear still gnawing at my mind. I knew I couldn't stay there any longer. I had to leave, had to get as far away from that house as possible. I grabbed what little I could carry and drove away, the fear still gripping me, the girl's voice still echoing in my mind. I never went back. I couldn't. The house was sold, and I moved on, trying to put the past behind me. But no matter how far I ran, I could never escape the memory of the girl in the basement, the fear that still haunted me. And sometimes late at night, when the world is quiet and the darkness presses in, I can still hear her voice calling out to me. Why did you leave me? Driving at night has always been something I've enjoyed. There's something peaceful about it. The way the world quiets down, the roads empty except for the occasional passing car. It's like the darkness brings a sense of calm that daylight never could. So when the storm started that evening, I didn't think much of it. I'd driven through worse. I was on my way home from my parents' place, a trip I made at least once a month. The route was familiar. Country roads winding through miles of open fields and dense woods, the kind of roads that felt secluded even during the day. At night, especially with a storm rolling in, they could feel downright desolate. The first raindrops splattered against my windshield as I pulled onto the main road, the sky a deep, bruised gray. I turned on the wipers, listening to the rhythmic thump as they swept the water away. The storm was picking up quickly, the rain coming down harder, the wind buffeting the car. Thunder rumbled in the distance, growing louder with each passing minute. I drove on, my headlights illuminating the darkness ahead, the road barely visible in the downpour. I knew these roads well, every curve, every bump, but the storm had a way of making even the most familiar places feel strange, almost menacing. It was about halfway home when I saw him. The rain was coming down in sheets, so thick it was like driving through a waterfall. I was focused on the road trying to keep my car from sliding on the slick pavement when a flash of lightning lit up the sky. In that brief, blinding moment, I saw him, a man standing in the middle of the road, dressed entirely in white. My heart leaped into my throat and I slammed on the brakes, the tires screeching as they fought for traction. The car swerved, and for a terrifying second, I thought I was going to lose control. But then, miraculously, the tires caught and the car skidded to a stop, just inches away from where the man had been standing. I sat there, gripping the steering wheel, my breath coming in short, panicked gasps. The rain was pounding on the roof, the sound deafening, but all I could think about was the man I had almost hit. I couldn't see him anymore. The darkness and the rain had swallowed him up. Who the hell would be out here in the middle of a storm, wearing all white, just standing in the road? The question echoed in my mind, but there was no answer, just the relentless pounding of the rain. Slowly, I released my grip on the steering wheel and peered through the windshield, squinting into the darkness. The road ahead was empty, the man in white nowhere to be seen. I should have felt relieved, but instead a chill ran down my spine, the kind of cold that settles deep in your bones. Maybe he had moved off the road, I thought. Maybe he was just some poor soul who got caught in the storm and was trying to find shelter. But if that were true, why hadn't I seen him move? It was like he had just vanished into thin air. I shook my head, trying to shake off the unease that had settled over me. I couldn't just sit there all night. I needed to get home. With one last glance at the empty road, I put the car back in gear and slowly started driving again, my hands still trembling on the wheel. But I couldn't shake the feeling that I wasn't alone. The rain seemed louder now, the wind more insistent, like it was trying to tell me something. I kept checking the rearview mirror, half expecting to see the man in white standing behind me, but the road was empty, just the way it should be. But deep down, I knew something wasn't right, and it was about to get a lot worse. I was almost home, just a few miles to go, when it happened. The storm was at its peak now, the wind howling like a living thing, the rain so heavy it was like driving through a curtain of water. I had to slow down, the car barely crawling along as I tried to see the road ahead. That's when I saw him again. It was just a flicker of movement at first, a pale shape darting across the road, barely visible through the rain. My heart skipped a beat and I slammed on the brakes again, my mind racing. I had seen him. Hadn't I? The man in white, running across the road? I peered through the windshield, my breath fogging up the glass. For a moment, everything was still. The only sound, the relentless drumming of the rain. But then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw him. A flash of white darting on the side of the road. Panic surged through me, and I yanked the wheel to the side, trying to avoid him. The tires skidded on the wet pavement, and the car spun out of control. I felt the world tilt, the headlights sweeping across the trees in a dizzying blur. And then, with a sickening crunch, the car slammed into something solid. The impact knocked the breath out of me, the seatbelt cutting into my chest as I was thrown forward. For a moment, everything went dark, the world reduced to the sound of my own ragged breathing and the rain hammering on the roof. When I opened my eyes, I was slumped over the steering wheel, my head pounding, my vision blurry. The car had come to a stop, half on the road, half in the ditch, the front end crumpled against a tree. I sat there for a moment, trying to catch my breath, trying to make sense of what had just happened. The man in white. I had seen him, hadn't I? But now, in the cold aftermath of the crash, I wasn't so sure. Had I really seen someone, or had the storm and the darkness played tricks on me? Gingerly, I reached up and touched my forehead, wincing as my fingers brushed a tender spot. I was bleeding, just a small cut, but it added to the growing sense of panic that was building inside me. I needed to get out of the car, needed to see if the man was still out there. I fumbled with the seatbelt, my hands shaking, and finally managed to unclip it. The car door groaned as I pushed it open, the rain immediately soaking me to the skin. I stepped out, my legs unsteady beneath me, and looked around. The road was empty. No sign of the man in white. No sign of anything, really. Just the trees looming on either side of the road, their branches swaying in the wind. I walked around the front of the car, the headlights casting long shadows across the wet ground. The front bumper was smashed, the hood crumpled from the impact, but wasn't as bad as it could have been. I'd been lucky, I realized, that I hadn't been going faster. Still, the car was stuck, half in the ditch, the tires spinning uselessly in the mud. I pulled out my phone, hoping to call for help, but of course, there was no signal. Not out here, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a storm. I cursed under my breath, shoving the phone back into my pocket. I stood there, my mind reeling. Had I really seen him? Or was I losing my mind? The rain was still pouring down, the wind still howling, but I barely noticed. I was too shaken, too confused to care about anything else. All I knew was that I had to get out of there, had to get away from whatever it was I had just encountered. I stumbled back to the car, my hands trembling as I fumbled for the door handle. I had to get out of here, had to get home. But as I reached for the door, I heard a sound. Close, like something was moving through the trees, coming toward me. I spun around, my heart leaping into my throat. But it wasn't the man in white. It was my father. I was so shaken that I hadn't even noticed his car coming. "Dad," I cried out, relief flooding through me. He was soaked to the bone, his clothes plastered to his body. But I didn't care. He was here. I wasn't alone anymore. "Are you okay?" he called back, hurrying over to me. "What happened? I saw your car." I cut him off, my words tumbling out in a rush. "There was a man. He was in the road. I crashed. He was here, Dad. He was right here." My father's brow furrowed as he looked around, his gaze sweeping over the trees, the road, the empty space where the man in white had been. "I don't see anyone," he said, his voice calm but cautious. "Are you sure?" "I'm sure," I insisted, my voice shaking. "He was right there, I swear." My father looked at me for a long moment, his expression unreadable. Then he nodded. "Okay," he said, his voice steady. "Let's get you out of here. We'll figure this out later." He helped me into his truck, and we drove the rest of the way home in silence. The storm was still raging outside, but inside the truck, it felt like a different world, warm and dry. I kept looking out the window, half expecting to see the man in white standing by the side of the road, but he was gone. Just like before, it was like he had never been there. "Maybe it was a spirit," my father said quietly after a long pause. "You hear stories out here in the country about things that walk the roads at night, especially during storms. Lost souls, looking for something. Or someone." I shivered, the thought sending a chill down my spine. I didn't want to believe it, didn't want to think that what I had seen was something other than human. But the more I thought about it, the more it made sense. There was something otherworldly about the man in white, something that didn't belong in this world. That night, I couldn't sleep at all. When the morning came, I got a call from the police. They had found my car, still stuck in the ditch where I had left it. They asked me to come down to the station, said they had some questions. When I arrived, the officer in charge showed me a picture. It was of the man in white, just as I had described him. Pale, gaunt, dressed in old-fashioned clothes that looked like they belonged in another century. "Do you recognize this man?" the officer asked. I nodded, my throat dry. "That's him," I said. "That's the man I saw." The officer exchanged a look with his partner, then turned back to me. "We've been getting reports about him for years," he said, his voice low. "People see him on the road, usually during storms, but no one's ever been able to find him, not alive anyway." "What do you mean?" I asked, a chill running down my spine. The officer hesitated, then handed me a newspaper clipping, yellowed with age. The headline sent a jolt of fear through me. Local man found dead in storm, dressed in white, missing for days. I stared at the clipping, my mind reeling. The date was from over 50 years ago. The man in the picture was the same one I had seen on the road, the same one who had caused me to crash, who had watched me with those cold, dark eyes. "We don't know what he wants," the officer said quietly, "but people say he's looking for something, or someone." I left the station in a daze, the newspaper clipping clutched in my hand. The storm had cleared, the sky a bright, cloudless blue, but I couldn't shake the cold that had settled over me. I still drive that road sometimes, but never at night, never during a storm. And every time I pass the spot where I crashed, I think about the man in white, about what he might be looking for. And I pray that I never find out.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.